Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Well, welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. We are having some beautiful weather here in Canada. If you are listening live, we are in May, which for me is like, it's one of it's really great, but also I live in the middle of the countryside. For those of you who are new listeners, you might not have heard me tell stories of how I live on 45 acres of land, which I'm so blessed and grateful to have. What comes with that is a lot of black flies at this time of year. And I have to say, you know, this topic of how to own your desires without shame, my desire is to not have some black flies bite my butt every day. And I've had some bites in some places. Those black flies have they're not into consent, which on this show, we always talk about consent and communication and curiosity. They are very curious. They have not asked my consent, and they have not communicated to me what their desires are, which is to generally bite my butt. So I am not pleased with them. However, if you are listening to this in the future, you know, the chances are, if you're listening to this anytime that isn't May, then the chances are I am safe from black flies, guys. So you know that I'll be okay. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about how to own your desires without shame. And I know for me in my life, let's just start with, why the heck do I even talk about stuff on this show? And why have I been doing it for over 10 years, coming up to 11 years very soon? And one of the reasons is that I actually really love to talk about these topics that are normally quite shameful for people. And one of the topics is sex that we talk about. We also talk about relationships, and we talk about, you know, kinky history and all kinds of fun things. What is really common that I find is a lot of people have a lot of shame around even talking about sex, never mind the actual act of it. It's like, we got to pretend it never happened, even though without somebody having an orgasm, even if it's into a petri dish or like a container to use for sperm donating, somebody had to have an orgasm. And in some way, there's been a sexual activation or response happening in the body. So why do we have so much shame? We will talk about that. I think what we need to really dive into first, and for those of you who wonder why I do talk about these things, I am a sex and intimacy coach. I also work with people as a holistic health practitioner. And what I found over the years was a lot of people started coming to me and kind of secretly having these sideline notes of saying, you know, they might have come and they're like, oh, I have a sore back. And then we get to talking, and then we find out that there's relationship issues. And as a result, I thought, you know what, should probably get some training under my belt. Also, this show, when I first started it, I started it out with all my curiosity and also with some background in psychology with a lot of emphasis in sexual studies, but I wasn't a sexologist and I did not have any kind of credentials for that. So I have, and I do now have credentials as a sex and intimacy coach. And what I like to help people with is to be able to tap into what their desires are, to be able to learn how to communicate those desires, and then live without shame. And I have some really cool clients that have been around for years and years and years. Some have become friends for sure. And one of them, shout out to you, I will not name you, once had a really big like revelation, you could say. Or was it a revelation? It was a really big ask. It was more about confession, I would say. So the confession what had to do with a kink that was a really big desire in this person's life, but they had no way of sharing that with their partner. The partner would not have been open to that. So one of the things was a conversation about that, and just sometimes even talking about it can help your body relax so you don't feel weird, so you don't feel shame. And so many things that people have shame around are things that are, you know, as long as there's consenting adults involved, your age of consent, and you can consent, then we're good, right? So we can start to eliminate some shame for sure. We also can start to look at what are our desires. We can have desires for many things, desires for our health, for our homes. You know, you have people who are always looking at how to better things, right? So a desire is, you know, when you look at, well, actually, if you break the word down, it's really interesting. As I'm looking at a visual of the word desire, it's like desires. It's probably not the real etymology, but to sire something is to give birth to it. So it's of giving birth. In my mind, that's what I'm thinking about. I will look up the etymology at some point. However, I just thought I'd play with this today. And so if we are siring something, if we are bringing it to life and bringing it to reality, that energy is something that requires, I would say, a creative boost, right? So whether that's to creatively come up with ideas about things you like, write them down, draw them out, have conversations, requires some kind of creative flow in order to get your desires accomplished. Because usually they're things that need to be created in your life. If you desire to be able to travel, then you need to create that in your life. So actually the etymology just came through from the producer. So thank you. So the etymology is to wish or long for, express a wish to obtain, long for, wish for, demand or expect, await what the stars will bring. Oh yeah. So it is from the phrase desidere, which is French, from the stars. Ah, sidereal. Yes. Very cool. So different than siring things, desire, the siring of something is maybe a little different. So anyway, I thought it was kind of fun, my idea of it, to give birth to something. I'm just going to play with that energy too. And when you desire something, you do, you yearn for it. You would like to have it in your life. So I have, you know, through coaching, I've asked so many people, what do they desire? And usually the simple form is, I want somebody that will love me. I'm like, okay, well, that is really vague. It's lovely. And then the question I generally give back is, do you love you? And so usually the answer I get is, well, I don't know what that means. So first of all, if you desire something, if you desire love, if you desire love, it would be really good for you to know what is love to you. Reading some books or listening to books, I love audiobooks because I can get a lot of other stuff done with them. If you have like a thing where you want to learn more about love, maybe look up Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. That one's such a great, concise explanation of the different ways we love each other. So if you desire to have different sexual experiences, then it's really helpful in defining those. It's like, you want to have more sex. Okay, well, that is general. You would like to have more intimacy. That's also very general. What are some specifics about those things that you feel you're lacking in your life? So if you're, for example, feeling like you would like more intimacy and you say that to your partner, I think we lack intimacy. Well, the first thing your partner is going to think is, there's something wrong with me. I messed up. That is not the way to approach it. So having a conversation about the intimacy that you desire, you might want to break it down to some of those 5 love languages, which might be words of affirmation or quality time could be part of that intimacy. Or having deeper conversations about things that really matter to you. So how do you define intimacy? On the show, we've over the years talked about different kinds of intimacy as well. Like we talked about elements of intimacy, about trust, and different gratitude and different things that you can have for your partner. And you can work with elements of intimacy in order to strengthen your intimacy. But I think, and I know what happens a lot of the times is that people use this word desire, and it is so general that to deliver that to your partner through communication is going to leave them probably feeling some shame, like I screwed up. They probably will feel withdrawn, maybe backed into a corner, depending on how they react to things. Unless they're pretty good with their attachment style, like if they're securely attached, they might sit there and ask you questions like, what does that mean to you? Like, what do you feel we're missing in intimacy? So if you're with somebody who is securely attached, chances are there isn't a lot of intimacy missing. There might be things to tweak and hone in on. And if you're securely attached, you might also feel like you're good. Your intimacy is, you're able to have intimacy with many people probably for, and it's intimacy in a different way, not necessarily sexual, right? So sex and intimacy are not the same thing. And they often get misnamed, misused, they're not the same. Intimacy is something that we are allowing ourselves to be vulnerable so that people can see and know who we are, that they have gratitude for us, that they have trust, you know, in themselves when they're around us, and also, you know, that you trust you. There's so many things that go on with intimacy that have absolutely nothing to do with having body parts have pleasure. And body parts can have pleasure in so many different ways. As we know, if you've been listening for the last 10 years, there are so many fabulous ways for your body to have pleasure. And every day, I hear more and more from people, and I love getting your emails, by the way. Every day, there's always somebody new with something new. And, you know, I've had several episodes that were sparked by emails from different listeners. And, you know, one of the cutest ones I ever got was from a couple that it's cute in that it's such an innocent kink. It's, they have a kink for, well, I love innocent kinks. They're my favorite. So innocent kinks, like having a love of flowers, is one of my favorites. Innocent kinks also, like, I just refer to them as innocent kinks. I don't know that there's a technical terminology for that, but they're very sweet and innocent. And like being in love with somebody's belly button, like having an absolute fascination with belly buttons, like that was such a great show. And I learned so much about belly buttons because of the request to have that show. So something that you desire, if you have that conversation and you open up that conversation, it can open doors to learning new things, to experiencing new things. And you know what, guys, what would you rather do? Would you rather sit back and, you know, desire things forever, but never have them come to fruition? Or would you like to desire something, learn to communicate, take action to achieve the things you desire and receive the things you desire? So achieve means that you would actually work for it. Receive means it's kind of gifted to you. And either way, that's usually how things show up. So would you rather have the longing forever, or would you rather have your desires fulfilled? So when we look at desires, I think one of the things that you can do is start to check out, you know, in your mind, you know, we can break it down. Like in your mind, what do you desire in terms of relationships, whether it's with somebody that you're having sex with or, you know, kinky play of all kinds with? How would you like to connect your mind, your thoughts, your intelligence, your intellect, your ability to communicate? If we go to the whole head, right? You know, how would you like to be able to look at somebody? What's your desire about connection? Do you require somebody who will look you in the eyes? It was never like a super big deal to me to have somebody be able to do that. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it's a really cool practice to start playing with, is looking somebody in the eye. But I have had quite a few clients who have said that that was something that was really important to them, that they really wanted their partner to be able to do that. Now, if your partner's neurodiverse, it might be a little tricky. It might take some practice. So Looking at one eyeball, the left eyeball, is usually the easiest way to start, guys. If you're listening and you're like, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, just look at the left eyeball for a little bit. Otherwise, it can feel a little wonky. I don't know about you, but my brain starts to go a bit funny and then I just want to laugh. So part of that is about heart connection. It's also our receiving side, the left. It's something that has been put through practices. And people want to connect when they're doing different tantric practices. They'll look at the left eye generally. So it's for no other reason than, hey, that's what my teachers told me. So play with it. Maybe you want to look at the right eye instead. That's okay. Do you? And just, but if you just focus on one eye and each of you just focuses on the same eye, it can be really helpful to be able to look at each other. So what do you desire and long for? And sometimes those conversations will come out of that longing and looking. And we're going to talk more about desires and how can we keep track of them? How can we find out if we've achieved them? We'll start to talk more about that when we come back from this commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Nilitsa Yelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Nilitsa Yelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Melitza every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Yelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicayelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about how to overcome shame to have what we desire. And sometimes we will get into modes. I'm speaking for all of us, guys. I know lots of people who do this, so that's why I'm speaking for all of us. So if we can own our desires without shame, we'll be able to receive way more than we ever imagined. And we'll be able to then explore things that we haven't considered, because as soon as you kind of break through that, break through the ice and the ice starts melting, they call them like icebreakers, because as the icebreakers start happening and that ice starts melting, you're going to be able to access a lot more of that water. If we look at that metaphysically, accessing the water is being able to access your feelings and your emotions and your creativity. So that is something that is key, is accessing all of that. If you've had all your desires frozen or you haven't been able to talk about them, it's like having a layer of ice. And as that cracks and you can access, and it cracks and it opens and you open and you start discussing these things with the peoples that you love, you can access that water, that creative, life-giving source. We are essentially water and minerals and some stardust and electrical inputs. That's pretty much what we are, right? on the physical, and then, you know, beyond that, we had a show last week about energetic connections. So we do have those, right? We kind of talked about where those might come from. So if we can access the things that we desire just by starting to have conversations, just by starting to ask ourselves, what do I desire? And maybe what I desire today is different than yesterday. I'll give you an example. So yesterday my body was in this like kind of mode of there. I could look around and I thought, oh, there's so many things I could do. I don't know what I can do because my left butt cheek was like, ow. I know I kind of like put my leg out. So I've been working, doing a lot of somatic movements so that I can get my butt back on track. And then I asked my body, what would it like to do so that it could feel better? And the ideas started popping. So the things that my body desired were different than what maybe my brain thought was a good idea, or what would seem logical to somebody who has like a sore, you know, like leg, butt cheek sort of area. My body's desire was to clean the barbecue, clean up my back porch, because we had a lot of like grass and stuff that comes on there from the winter and all that jazz, and some random birds that get into the back porch, even though it's screened off. So it's like cleaning up all that mess. And then I was like cleaning freezers. I don't know what it was. It was just like I had to just keep going and standing and moving. And in this movement of doing all the different things I was doing a lot of standing and squatting and standing and squatting. And essentially I got my butt pretty much back on track before I went to bed. And then I went to bed a little bit earlier than my body wanted me to. I probably, if I had just kept on going, I probably wouldn't have been up to like 4 or 5 a.m., which I know sounds a little manic. I was just having a, I'm going to listen to my body mode. And I didn't. I went to bed at like 1 instead of 4. And I probably could have accomplished a lot more if I had just stayed awake. So bodies are funny. Definitely listen to your body. If you're in a place where you don't have to like think about, you know, are you going to wake up your whole family if you stay up till 4 a.m.? Just stay up till 4 a.m. Do you follow your body and what it desires, because it will often lead you to things. And I say follow what your body desires because let's just check in for a second. Like, does your soul desire anything other than connection with source? I don't know that it does. I can't say for sure for anybody, but let's go with these bodies because they're what's experiencing life on this planet right now. So you can ask your body, what do you desire today? What do you truly desire today? And it might tell you to do some weird things like clean that barbecue, do those squats. And it was, my body was so happy. So, you know, you never know. Today in between clients, it was like clean windows. And I'm like, okay, I can clean, started cleaning windows and doing other random acts of weed whacking. I threw weed in there, by the way. So it was weed whacking. I wasn't just whacking off anybody and anything that just showed up. It was weed whacking. And that was odd. Like, again, I was like, hey, all right, buddy, I'm going to follow you on this. Cause you know, normally I would like be not really desiring doing weed whacking because it's not that easy on the back to begin with. But this time, I tell you, I had some style going on. So if you've ever held a weed whacker, I was kind of holding it a bit like a guitar, but like down to the ground, which is kind of how you hold one. Some people hold them out in front of them. But no, this time I needed to like hold it against my body. So actually my whole body was involved in weed whacking. As if somebody had like driven by, they would have seen me doing this incredibly interesting swaying motion. It was like full body, it was a full body experience to get the weed whacking done. And it was actually great. I got a lot of it done, stuff that I had ignored for probably 2 years because I was like, ugh, what a mess. With 45 acres of land, it's easy to ignore patches here and there. And so some parts get ignored sometimes. And this year I was like, screw it, I'm taking care of this stuff. And I just didn't know it was going to be today. And so when you do follow your body, it will take you in interesting directions and get you to do things that maybe you put off for a long time, because maybe it's actually saying to you, this is what you know, you're going to get a great sense of satisfaction from this. You're going to get that dopamine hit for doing this. And we need a little dopamine going on here. We need a little endorphins going on here. So you never know what your body's going to lead you into. But what I do know is the more that I trust my body to show me what it desires, the better off I am. And there are things that, you know, my body might desire too that are pretty practical. Like my body desires a lot of money because it is happy to be able to help other people with money, to be able to, you know, pay the bills and everything like that. Body likes money. Does your body like money? My body desires money. My body desires a lot more money than I have right now, even. So bringing it in. And so when you start to look at the things you desire, you might not realize it at first, but when you start, you're probably going to start to realize how many things you desire. I encourage you to make a list and see what, if you need to, because a lot of people are really good with writing things down. I used to be really good at that. And sometimes I make lists for making sure I get my to-dos done. But when I'm in a follow my body mode, I don't usually write. I just follow. And by the time I would have written it down, I would have already started or accomplished whatever it was. I was a task that I had at hand. But if you need to write it down so that you can check it off, so you can acknowledge what you have accomplished or, you know, what you have received, then absolutely do that so that you feel and you can note what's going on. It's going to also help with those endorphin kicks too, and, you know, dopamine kicks. So get, you know, that'll start helping to get your happy hormones pumping. Speaking of happy hormones, I have a course on my website. If you want to take it, it's 4 calls. It's the Happy Hormones Club. You can go over to my website, MelitzaYelenich.com. You can find, I have a few courses on there actually, and I have different opportunities for coming to 1 day retreats. And there'll be more information on retreats coming soon, but right now there's 1 day retreats happening. And also, you know, that's something that I desired many years ago, was to be able to hold retreats on this land. So when we look at desire and shame, I know usually we're talking about this because it's the pleasure zone. I usually talk about it from sex, but this is not sex only. So some of the shame that I even had was, you know, do I invite people to a property where my house is tiny? And, you know, people might have like this perception of, oh, she's got a podcast and she's like, blah, blah, blah. I have a tiny house. It's not a tiny home, not officially, because it's like 1,000 square feet, which is could be big in some countries, but not big in Canada. And so at first there was like a little shame around that. And it was like, oh, people are just going to look at that and go, ugh. And so as things started to progress, and my husband built this amazing space so that I could be able to have retreats and work out of, it was such a gift. And now I get excited and enjoy inviting people into it. So it went from shame to having the desire to invite people over. And sometimes you will flip from something that was shameful, that I was talking about, you know, that big ask that one of my clients had, just talking about it can flip the energy so that the shame goes away and then the desire becomes more real. And then it's something that you can actually have and receive. So I would look at some of the things that you may have experienced shame with. And like, shame is a whole other part of this conversation, right? So we will talk about that in this next coming segment. In the meantime, when we go to break, I would really encourage you guys to just even start to look at what are the things you desire when it comes to finances. What are the things you desire when it comes to your body? If it has to do with your health, so when we look at the body, it has to do with health, mobility, all things to do with sex, whether it has to do with the shape of your body, the weight of your body. What are the things you desire for your body? What are the things you desire for your finances? What are the things you desire in the space that you live in? What are the things you desire in the relationships that you have? And you can categorize that too. It's like, what do you desire in your relationship with your, say, significant other, your, you know, sex partners, partners? What do you desire with your family? So get clear on that. Like, what do you desire? What kind of relationships do you desire? Do you even know? That's part of it, is like, wow, I don't even know. Am I even allowed to ask? Some of that comes back to shame, which we will talk about in the next segment. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today, we're talking about things like desire and shame, because you know what? A lot of times when we've had a lot of shame in our life, we haven't really been able to ask for what we desire. And so I wanted to talk about desire first. You can get really clear on, you know, what is desire? Where can, you know, how does it play out in your life? Knowing that you're allowed to ask for things that you do desire. It's all so fascinating. So when we look at shame, I was just looking at that etymology of shame, which is an interesting word. It's an old English term, scamouf, from a painful feeling of guilt or disgrace. So guilt or disgrace. So how many people are walking around feeling that they have shame or that they're ashamed, like as if somebody has put shame on them? Most shame, maybe all shame, as I think about it, maybe all shame is shame that's been put on us so that we're ashamed. So it's not really something that was ours. And I think about that from my childhood, and I was about probably 4 or 5, and I had like a real absolute love for going skinny dipping. And I don't know, my grandma had this obsession for me to be able to go skinny dipping, and we lived nowadays I would never, and I wasn't really at the time as a child, I wasn't aware of, you know, child pornography or anything like that, or pedophiles. But now looking back, I'm thinking, grandma, did you not know about pedophiles or child porn? Like, what was happening? But, you know, she just thought it was innocent and like, yeah, kid, you want to go like skinny dipping? Go for it. So, you know, she went down to the beach with me and held a towel for me, but off in the distance, And so I'm like 4 or 5, and I'm having full awareness of my body. And I also have full awareness that I want to go in that lake naked and full awareness of my body. And the sun is coming down. And so the people can still see me. Cottages are lined up, you know, keep this in mind. And I'm like right on the lakefront and off, you know, I believe it was like off to my left were my uncles. And they were playing, it was either baseball or football or some kind of sport. And my uncles had this thing for like, they love teasing me. And so they would, if anybody had a bare bum, they would go, woo woo, bare bum. Well, I was mortified. Mortified. I started crying. My grandma's like, just go in the water. You can do this. And I'm 4. Like I'm scared. I feel like embarrassed at this point. All I wanted to do was go skinny dipping. And so when you look at that, like my uncles did not mean harm on me at all. I know that. It's just they show love through like being silly, and that was what they were doing. And for me though, it was mortifying, and it took a really, really long time to ever like actually want to take my clothes off again. I'm not the person who would go into a change room and like strip naked in front of strangers. I know that seems weird because I'm actually really I'm really okay. Like I'm actually really okay with my own nudity walking around my own backyard. Even though probably drones can like hone in on me and see that, I don't have to like know that that's happening. But particularly change rooms with other women, I'm not good at. If I was in a change room with men, I'd actually be okay, which is strange, right? It might be strange, maybe it's not. I wouldn't be comparing myself is why, right? So I'm not looking at a man comparing my boobs to his boobs, and I'm not looking at a man comparing my ass to his ass. And my brain around women is that I go into comparison, and I still do that. I still do that. So, and I work on it all the time to not compare myself. I just like want to let you guys know it's not something that I'm like brush aside and go, there's nothing there. No, I know there's something there. I know that I still have comparison, and comparison can create a lot of shame. So, I also have a lot, I know this is bizarre, but I'm actually kind of modest. I don't really like showing off my belly in clothes. I don't really like even showing off my shape. Even when I was younger, I didn't really do that. I had like one shirt that kind of showed off my belly button, but even then I felt so exposed. So this is, I know it's really kind of strange, but I'm strangely modest in a lot of ways when I think about it. I actually be really cool with wearing clothes from like the early 1900s, and I'd feel probably quite comfortable in them. So that's something I bet you guys didn't know about me. And so here I talk about this stuff all the time, right? I talk about sex and I talk about intimacy, and absolutely, I am, if I'm like one-on-one with somebody that I absolutely trust, I can show up and I can be naked and I can be absolutely fine. But I have to have a massive level of trust to even be able to remotely get naked in front of somebody. Like I have probably never even been in a sauna naked with anybody that I know. Because I've never been in a sauna with my husband that I can think of. But I also friends, like, and I love many of my friends quite dearly, and I would not even feel comfortable. I know that's weird. And I have a friend who will like just strip it off in front of me. And man, God bless her. She's amazing. And I love that she does that. I love the confidence. Probably if I had her tits and ass, I would do the same thing. I'd be showing it off all the time too. So I'm just not there right now. It's a comparison thing, right? So my head goes into that unless I absolutely have like a feeling that I'm not going to compare myself. I don't think. Even if the other people are comparing me, that's them, but it's more about me comparing me. So when it comes to shame, you know, the chances are that shame has been put on you from somewhere and you might not even know where, you might not have tracked it back. I think there's shame that happens to babies, you know, people say weird things to babies. I've seen it, like, oh, they're so chubby, or they're so this, and they'll say things that are so mean to babies, and they think like babies don't understand it. Babies feel the energy, they know. And so that shame is probably even being put onto them in utero. It could be epigenetics being passed on through generations of shame as well. We have, you know, I don't know if there's been studies on the epigenetics of shame. There might be, or there should be. Maybe I can do that research, the epigenetics of shame. Fascinating, because there's epigenetics in trauma. There are trauma epigenetic studies. So I would think that that shame would fall under a trauma response as well. My brain just went off track there for a second. So shame comes from so many different things. It's cultural, it's familial, it's, you know, it's through community, it's through so many different sources, religious. So look at the shame that you maybe are carrying, even if you only have like one thing that you feel ashamed about. There aren't a lot of things I feel ashamed about, but being naked in front of women is really strangely one of them. Even though I adore women and find them super sexy, it's also a very hard thing to do, get naked in front of women, because the comparison bells go ringing all off. So yeah, something you guys might not have known about me. And so, you know, when you look at that, there's probably always something where there's a little bit of shame. And I think where we do have shame, we might even start to do self-sabotage, right? So if I have shame around that, then I might not go into certain things that could be really productive for me. I might meet a lot of new people if I was like willing to get naked and go to like a goddess event. So I went to a goddess event a few years ago, and like every woman there was naked except me. I was like in my underwear. Plus I had my period, which also made it awkward. I'm like, I can't be naked in my period, like, because I don't like tampons. So I'm like, I can't walk around here and bleed all over everything. That would be rude. So that, and the shame of periods is huge. That goes, that's like cross-cultural. You know, certain things where, you know, I don't know in your culture, but in Serbian Orthodox, you're not supposed to take the sacrament in church if you are bleeding. That, you know, that shame of menstrual shame is really huge. The shame of having genitalia is quite huge. So, you know, women's genitals, even the name that they were given, vagina, which is basically sheath, is kind of a shameful name. It's just, it's vagina is the sheath, and then you have the phallus for like, which is the sword that goes in the sheath. The vagina is very, very much a heteronormative name for your genitals if you have a vulva. So, and I don't know why people call it a vagina when it's like, unless you're looking internally, that's the vagina. The whole outside is your vulva, and there's so much shame around it. There's so much shame. So what can we do to start to eliminate shame? Number one is acknowledge it. Like, do you still feel shame? And if you do, how are you able to navigate life with it? Is it getting in your way of living? If your shame is getting in your way of living, then I would say something needs to be reconciled there and looked at. If your shame, like me not really wanting to get naked in front of a group of women, it's not getting in my way of living. Now, would I have the courage to be like, that's it, I'm doing it? Because I've had ideas, I've had classes I've wanted to teach, and I'm still like, I don't know the comparison. So I've had classes I'd love to facilitate, and now I need to be able to get out of my own comparison to be able to invite women to be able to get out of their comparison. So that's something I'm working on, guys, working on my own comparison, my own crap in my head around that. So I don't know a single person that doesn't have shame. My husband would probably claim he doesn't have shame, and he might not. I haven't seen it come out yet. I've been with him 12 years, but I swear there might be some somewhere. So yeah, I mean, it's rare that I can embarrass him or anything like that. Like, yeah, I don't know that he has shame. He's married to me. I talk about sex and bodies and orgasms and penises and vaginas like all the time. And he's not ashamed. So, you know, where is shame for you? I also have a little bit of shame around, and this is interesting because I have the ability to speak 4 different languages. And yet when it comes to speaking them in front of native speakers, I freeze. So most of that comes from people correcting me, which I find hilarious because I don't correct them in their English. I just listen to their English and interpret what they're saying or understand what they're saying with their accent and how they're pronouncing things. However, native speakers have this thing where they like love to tell you you're wrong and correct you. So I have a little shame around that, and I know where it comes from too. Thing is, the shames that I have, I know where they come from. And I also know that they're not interfering in my life. But if you have shame around things like being in a relationship and you really would like to be in one, or you were told somewhere that, you know, sex before marriage is so wrong, but you really want to have sex before marriage, that shame could be getting in the way of you having a really amazing relationship. But if that's truly in your heart of hearts, and there's no shame in it, then it's your morality. So sometimes check on that too. Is it your shame or is it your morality? And is it your morality, not a morality that's been placed on you that would cause you to be ashamed of whatever your actions are? All right, I am so over my next break time, but we're going to head to the last commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today we've been talking about what is shame, what is desire, and then how do we choose a life of desire to be able to move through the shame. And I think giving you guys some tools today, first recognize what the shame is, but then also start to look at yourself. So for example, one of the things that I can do for me, and before I couldn't even do this. So we're talking 12 years ago, I had 0 mirrors in my house. I think there was one in the bathroom. No, that was installed after. There was 0 mirrors in my house because I did not like looking at myself. I had a lot of shame. A lot of it was connected to the relationship I was in prior to my husband, and I was informed regularly that I wasn't Filipino, and I'm like, yeah, I know that, but apparently Filipinos are the best, and I was not that. So I'm like, but so why are you here? Why don't you leave? That's a story for another day. But when you get knocked down for a really long time, and you forget who you are, and you forget even what your value is, and that you might actually be sexy to somebody, that, you know, until you find that energy and you can reclaim that in yourself, you can be walking around with a lot of shame. So now I can look in the mirror, and I actually really love my tits right now. Like, I've been looking at them lately going, they are lovely. Like, I have great nipples. I really do. And I have great tits. And so I'm really, really thrilled about that. And lately I've been checking out my own ass going, you know what? And then certain things I wear, I'm like, yeah, my ass is great in this. And then some other things I'm like, this is not doing my ass justice. And my husband's really good at pointing out when my ass is being given justice, like, which is lovely because he's an ass man all the way. So maybe not in the way you guys are thinking. He likes butt cheeks. That's what he likes. He likes cheeks. So shame is something that I had, though, immense amounts of shame. I had shame even around like having cellulite on my bum cheeks, which I have had since I was like 17 years old. I've had like a little bit of like cellulite marks on my butt. I was never that person who had the super smooth model whatever. I have like some fats on my butt. So what was weirder is that the more my body filled out, the more my body even like gained weight, the happier my body is. So when I was like a size 6'8" before I had my child, and then after I had my child, when I met my husband, I was still like a size 8. My whole life, I've always had a thing. Even when I was a little kid, I've always had a little belly. You know, I looked at pictures of me when I was like 5 and I still had a little belly. It's part of my body. And a lot of people will congratulate me on being pregnant, which is partly also why my body for a long time, there was like shame around that. And now sometimes I can just be like, you know what? So if it's a woman going, oh, congratulations. I'm like, oh, to you too, because I'm 50. Like, I don't know. Yes, people do have kids at 50, but it's not me. That is not in my wheelhouse. So, oh my goodness. Guys, if you're enjoying the show, can you just give a 5-star review on iTunes? That would be amazing. Just give it on the Pleasure Zone. We are looking for more interaction for sure. The show's been going on for over 10 years. And if you can interact on anywhere that there's interaction, comments, likes, shares, I would so greatly appreciate it. It keeps me going. It keeps me like desiring to choose this show over and over and over again to be able to have conversations with you guys. And if you have experienced a lot of shame in your life, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I definitely have tools. So looking at yourself in the mirror is fantastic for a lot of things to do with shame, body shame especially. If you have shame around your thoughts, around what you think is sexy, contact me. I would love to speak with you. You can find me on melitzayelenich.com. Just, you know, go book a little time with me and I'm happy to gift you 15 minutes for free. And we can look at that shame and find out what's going on, because maybe it was assigned to you. Maybe you're ashamed and that shame was given to you and it's not yours. It's something that you can work around and you can start to navigate your thoughts on that. Another really great tool too is, I'm not an EFT practitioner, but I'm a really big fan of EFT. So emotional freedom technique, and it's tapping, right? So you can retrain your brain through different processes, different thought processes. That EFT is one of them, that there's a lot of different ones out there. NLP as well, neuro-linguistic programming. There are lots of really great methods to be able to get out of your head, retrain your thoughts, and then be able to let your body let go of the trauma that's connected to that shame. So I love doing somatic body work, which is something that I offer to my clients in person. I also love doing somatic noise work. I'll call it noise work. It's sounding, somatic sounding, and a variety of other tips and tools that I use when people come into workshops. I give them a lot of tips and tools. And if that's something that you're interested in, by all means, connect with me through my website, milicajelenich.com, milicajelenich.com, so that we can, you know, start to look at what could maybe help you. And definitely, if you are experiencing a lot of shame in your life, you might find that it's a lot trickier to get those desires that you would really like to have, even if they don't seem related. Like, you might desire a relationship, but there might be shame about something else. It might be shame about your body, and then the relationship is not coming through. They're not always directly correlated, or they don't always seem like they're in line. So Just keep that in mind. And remember that you are allowed to be.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body. To your body.